Well, of course you do. Thanksgiving Day. Everybody knows about Thanksgiving in this country, and many of us are looking forward to that day. A really, really good meal. Maybe a day or two off work. It'll take that long to recover from that meal. But Thanksgiving Day is not a typical holiday in America because it does not celebrate some epic day in history. It does not remember the birth of a famous person or famous event even in history. It does not commemorate the writing of a historic document like so many other things, July the 4th, for instance. But Thanksgiving Day in America is given for the express purpose of remembering and expressing gratitude for the blessings that we have received in our lives. That's what Thanksgiving Day is for. And of course, as you read the bulletin article this morning, you know that the politically correct people, tried to remove God from Thanksgiving, and all they want to do is look around the table and say something they're thankful for about each person that's there, and that's pretty much the extent of it. Instead of directing that gratitude up, they direct it around the room. And as I said, it's appropriate to be grateful to people around you for the impact and influence that they've had on your life. But they wouldn't be in your life if it wasn't for Him. If it wasn't for God, none of this would be here anyway. And so we need to remember to always look up in gratitude, as well as looking around at those people that mean so much to us. Now, certainly, there's a popular story of the pilgrims feasting with the Native Americans in the New World, but that's not entirely accurate the way it is depicted in some of our writings and historical material and all that. But what is definitely true is that these early explorers and settlers in this nation set aside time specifically to give thanks to God for the way He had blessed them and preserved them. They specifically did that. Their earliest written record of thanksgiving to God in this country actually occurred in Texas in May the 23rd, 1541, when Spanish explorer, and I'll try to say this as correctly as I can, Francisco Vasquez de Coronado held a service of thanksgiving with his company of men after they found food, water, and good grazing land for their animals in the Texas Panhandle. As they were exploring and going through that region, they had a time when they offered thanksgiving to God, as was written in his journal on May 23rd, 1541. Now, we have one letter from the time of the pilgrims. It was a man in Plymouth by the name of Edward Winslow in 1621, and he wrote a record of giving praises and speaking of the goodness of God and the feast that they had to rejoice in the gathered harvest that they had in Plymouth that fall. And so we do have some records, but in every one of these, the record is not being thankful to those sitting around the table, but the record is always being thankful to God above for what He had done. In 1942, today, the date was officially set as the fourth Thursday in every November as Thanksgiving Day. And if there's one thing clear from our history, it is that from the earliest days of our nation, the people in this land have taken time to praise and give thanks to God. And we need to continue doing that. And of course, certainly, you've heard this said many, many times, but the way it's supposed to be for the people of God is that we give thanks to God every day, not just on the fourth Thursday in November. Those of us who profess to follow the Lord know that Thanksgiving Day is not just a time for food and football and family. It's not just a holiday every fourth Thursday in November. It's not limited to a day at all. For God's people, every day is Thanksgiving Day. Every day. Now, In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15, there is an interesting passage of Scripture that encourages and admonishes us to be thankful every day. And it says that, therefore, by Him, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, and that is specifically the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, what kind of sacrifice is this? It's a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God. Now, the Scriptures are filled with admonitions for God's people to give praise and thanks to God over 500 times. This subject is referred to in Scripture. David said in 2 Samuel, I'm not going to read all 500. Just thought I'd tell you. I'll get a smile or two out of that. David says in 2 Samuel 22:50, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. He also said in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Then in Psalm 7, verse 17, he wrote, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 117 is attributed to David by many, but then others say they're not sure if he was the author of this psalm. But Psalm 117 has the distinction of being the shortest psalm and the shortest chapter in the Bible, and being the direct, exact, precise center of the Bible in English. Psalm 117, it's two verses, and it reads, Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul quotes this psalm in Romans 15, verse 11, so we have the concept even carried over to the New Testament. The last scripture I'll read right now is Ephesians 5, verse 19 and 20. You know this passage well. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. What kind of songs do we sing? We sing songs of praise to God. We sing songs lifting up the name of God, telling God how wonderful He is to us, thanking Him and expressing in both prayer songs and in doctrinal songs, in emotion songs, emotion-laden songs, of praise and thanksgiving to God for what He has done for us. But he then goes on to say, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father. Giving thanks always for all things. That's an interesting phrase. We'll come back to that. Do you know what the Talmud is? Have you ever heard of the Talmud? Now, the Talmud is not actually Scripture itself. It's more of a commentary on the Old Testament Scriptures. It's a record of the discussions of various rabbis that relate to the subject of the Jewish law, as well as their ethics, their customs, and their history. It is seen as a companion, but not Scripture itself, but seen as more of a commentary, preserving of the history of the Jews and such. But the Talmud says that in the time of the Messiah, when the Messiah would come, now you know that most Jews today do not believe the Messiah has come yet. Most Jews today are still looking for the Messiah. if they even still believe in God at all. Many Jews do not believe in God any longer. That's just a strange thing to me, but many of them don't. But those that are still looking, still believe in God, are actually looking for the Messiah for the most part. And it says that in the time of the Messiah, when the Messiah comes, all sacrifices except the sacrifice of praise would cease. That's what the Talmud says. Now, it was the point of the writer of the book of Hebrews that at the time he had written the book of Hebrews, the Messiah had come. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And he came and took away the old law, the law of sacrifices. The sacrificial system of the Jews was now abolished at the time that the Hebrew writer wrote, and the only thing that continued was the sacrifice of praise. Isn't that cool? We don't offer sacrifices of animals anymore. We don't offer drink offerings to God where you pour out a drink. We don't burn incense except to make the house smell better. But we don't burn incense to accompany our prayers, to carry our prayers to heaven. Some still try to practice this ancient ritual, but it's not something in Scripture that's commanded or authorized. We don't do any of these sacrifices like this. We offer the sacrifice of praise, the gift of praise to God. We pour out our hearts to God. We open our minds and our hearts to God as we express to Him how wonderful He is, what He means to us, all the gratitude for all that He has done for us, how that He has never abandoned us, how that He has been with us through everything in our life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the pleasant, and the terrible. God has been with us through it all. And so we have every need to offer a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Now, what is this sacrifice of praise? Well, it's the fruit of our lips. We no longer offer blood animal sacrifices. According to Hebrews 10 verse 12, Christ once for all offered His blood as a sacrifice for sins forever, once and for all. We offer the fruit of our lips. And this is talking about our prayers. It's talking about our songs and our praise to God, our adoration for God, and our thanksgiving to God. That's the sacrifice of our lips, the fruit of our lips. That's the sacrifice of praise. These are not only offered on Sunday either, folks, in a worship service or even a praise service, a prayer service, or a singing service. No, these are offered on a daily basis, continually. We are to be offering the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks. Always giving thanks. Now, one of the saddest things I see, whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's on television, where a family sits down at the table and they just start eating. You know, when I take food out to my dogs, they're so glad to get it because they're stuck in a cage. You know, they're in a fence in the backyard and they can't go roaming around. Oh, they bark at everything that moves and some stuff that don't. Okay? But they can't leave the confines of that dog pen to go roam around and forage for food. So they're so happy when they see me coming. And I dip that scoop deep into that bag of dog food. And I come over to the fence. And man, they're just, they're so happy. They're so happy. The eyes are big and the mouths are open and they're barking and they're so happy. And I dump that food in there and immediately, they just go right to it and just start consuming mass quantities of that stuff that they eat. All right. they never once turn and look at me and say, "Thank you." Not one time do they do that. Never have they done that. And I see people acting like those dogs. While we're over at Applebee's and you order that Fiesta Lime Chicken. That's the best thing. I bet some of y'all are going to go get that today. The Fiesta Lime Chicken at Applebee's is the best thing on their menu. It is so good. And I don't mess with the rice. Bring me some of those mashed potatoes with it. Oh, yeah. Mashed potatoes? Mm-mm-mm. You know, Faye, that may be where we're going for lunch. I don't know. But, you know, that is such a good dish. And so you see them bringing that to you and your mouth is watering, your eyes are looking up and, oh, man, that looks good. And they set that in front of you and you just tear into it like an old dog. And you never once look up and thank God that you got the money to buy that meal. That you had a means to get to a place like that, to get a meal like that. And it's one of the saddest things on TV. You see a family sitting around a Thanksgiving dinner. And they sit there and they look around at each other. And they may say a word or two about, "Oh, you're important to me, and you're important to me, and you're important to me. And oh, I thank you for letting me be a part of your life. And oh, yeah. And that's nice. And that's needed. It needs to happen. Yes." And they never once look up. They never once look up and thank God for the bounty, for what He has done. And that's one of the saddest things that I've ever seen, is to see either on television or in the restaurant, a family sit down at a meal together, a beautiful meal that's been prepared for them, and they never express gratitude to God. They just dig in like a pack of dogs. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Oh, that men would give praise to the Lord. He has done so much for us. Always giving thanks. Well, I'm going to tell you real quick the keys to gratitude. The keys to an attitude of gratitude, if you please. We need to be thankful when times are tough. If you didn't read the paragraph about the little children in the bulletin article, you need to read that. If you've not read that, don't do it now. Don't do it. But you need to read that because it's so very true. Children learn how to pray. And the first thing they do is be thankful. The first thing they do is express thanks when they learn to pray. That's the very first thing they do. And yet when we grow, when we mature, when we have begun to understand about life, how that it's not a bed of roses, that God never promised us a rose garden, that things are going to get tough at times. It's when we mature that we learn to be thankful even for the tough times. For the tough times. Nobody's thankful when they're getting a spanking. You know? Nobody's thankful for that. But after, when you grow up and you realize that it helped you to realize the dangers in this world, if you just live like, you know, they say if you give a boy and a pig everything they ever want, you have a good pig and a bad boy, right? You've heard that? Well, now you have. Well, if daddy didn't spank or mama didn't spank that child and bring that child under submission and help them to realize that you can't have everything you want because some things you want will hurt you. And so we don't like a spanking when we're getting it. And we don't like tough times when they come, but they do come. They do come. And Paul says in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks. How can I be thankful in tough times? You know, our economy is getting better, but buddy, we've seen some bad days, haven't we? And we've seen morality dropping in this nation at an alarming rate. Our society is just crumbling and falling apart around us. How in the world do I be thankful at tough times as our nation is in such bad shape? And then when we look at our own families and we see relationships strained, we see people that are being selfish and not concerned about the ones they love, they're supposed to love, and taking advantage. And then we see manipulation, and we see anger and hatred and wrath and strife and spite and envy and jealousy and oh, so many just terrible qualities. And we see those even in our own families. How can we be thankful in tough times? And then we see health diminish. We have lost so many people in this congregation this year. I've never seen a year in the 21 years I've been at Tanner, I have never seen a year like this one. Have you? Can you remember a year where we've lost so many people so rapidly? It's unbelievable. It's crazy. How can we be thankful in the tough times? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us you can be thankful. When you read the book of Acts, how the apostles, well, not just the Apostle Paul, but all the apostles, when you read the apostles and their associates and how they prayed and they sang hymns to God, even as they sat in the dark cells of prisons, and how they gave thanks to God even after having been beaten for the privilege of suffering for Christ's sake, how could they do that? And again, Paul exhorts the churches to give thanksgiving. And even while he's in prison, he's writing some of the most beautiful letters about rejoicing. The book of Philippians, in Philippians 4, verse 11, "For I've learned in whatever state," I had to learn it now, "but I've learned in whatever state I am to be content." That means that Paul is the same whether he is in abundance or whether he is in need. Paul is the same whether things are going well or things are going terrible. Paul is still the same man who trusts God, who talks about God, who prays to God and sings to God and is thankful to God. Even when things are terrible, Paul was thankful to God, but he had to learn that. It doesn't come natural. It goes against the grain. But he did learn it. And you and I can learn that too. Having learned to be content in all kinds of circumstances, Paul was able to be thankful in all circumstances. As Scott read this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Is it possible? Is it possible to be thankful no matter what the circumstances are? The first thing we need to see is in this verse, it says be thankful in everything, not for everything. Not for everything. You know, I don't have to be grateful that, if I have a heart attack, I don't have to be thankful I had a heart attack. But I need to be thankful that God was with me when I had a heart attack. I hadn't had one yet. I hope I don't. But no matter what happens, I need to be thankful. Not necessarily for everything, but in everything. No matter what circumstance I'm going through, I need to be thankful. Now, so he says, basically, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. We're talking about keys to an attitude of gratitude. And the first key is being thankful when times are tough. The second key is learning to be content. Learning that. That's what Paul has been saying. And he gives us three keys to help us learn that. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. This is a very familiar passage. I'm almost done. Philippians 4. 4 through 7, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now Paul wrote this in jail. In jail. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." So, here's what he tells you to do. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You do it through the filter of thanksgiving. You do it with prayers and supplications through the filter of thanksgiving, but you make your request known to God. It's appropriate to ask God for relief. It's appropriate to ask God for blessings. It's appropriate to ask God for peace and quiet, to be able to raise our families and the government leave us alone and the evil forces in the world leave us alone, it's appropriate to pray for these things. But you pray these prayers with thanksgiving in your heart, even as you pray for this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, how do we learn to be content? The first of the three critical keys is trust in God, not in yourself. Trust in God. First part of the verse of 6, he says, be anxious for nothing. It's normal to worry. It's normal to get anxious at times. You know, there's a few of you in here that like roller coasters. Yeah, a few of you here like roller coasters. I know a bunch of you don't. Bless your hearts. But there's a few of you here that really like roller coasters. And as you're getting close to the end of that line, to the front of that line where you're about to get on that roller coaster, the adrenaline is flowing and the heart is pumping and ooh me, you're just excited about getting on that thing. You're excited, you're anticipating, you're anxious to get on there and sit down and enjoy that thrilling, heart-wrenching ride that's going to yank you around a bit. All right, well, that's not the sinful anxiety. The sinful anxiety is where we allow ourselves not to trust God, but to believe our worst fears, for our lives to be affected and controlled by what we're afraid of. I'm afraid that I'm not going to have enough money, so I'm not going to give in church. No, I'm not going to put anything in the plate because I'm afraid I won't have enough money. I'm afraid that I may lose this job that I've got, and so I'm just going to stay at the job all the time, and I don't have time to go to church. I'm not going to take time to go to church, and I'm certainly not going to be involved in church activities because I'm afraid. And when we allow our anxieties about the different things in life to control us and to overwhelm us, to cause us to make choices that are not right, that anxiety is sinful. That's where it is. It's not being afraid that you're standing on the edge of a building, you're going to fall off. That's not the kind of anxiety that is sinful. But this anxiety that controls you, that's the same point that the fearful and unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns forever. This lake of fire is the second death. The fearful and unbelieving, those who let fear stop them from serving the Lord, are the ones that are going to lose their soul. And so you got to trust God more than what you're afraid of, more than what you're anxious or worried about. You know, worry pull means being pulled in different directions. It's like strangling or choking or whatever. And there's so many worries about life that are actually needless. I've had to counsel with someone on the phone before. He was so scared to death of everything in his life. And I said, man, you're running from a lion that's not even there. You're ready to jump off a bluff to get away from a lion that's not even there. I mean, it's just a terrible image of somebody that's so afraid to live that they're thinking about ending their life to get away from what they're afraid of, which is not even real. It's all in their head. It's all perceived. And so we have to learn to trust God. 1 Peter 5:7 should help. Peter says that we need to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Jesus said in Matthew 6:31-34, that we need to trust God to handle the worries of our life, the things that are a concern to us. And instead of focusing on those things, we need to focus daily on His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and your needs are going to be met. Food, clothing, shelter. Put that first. So first, trust in God. Second, pray to Him about everything. Everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But pray about everything. Some people say, I don't have time to pray. Well, you know, if we prayed as much as we worried, we wouldn't worry near as much as we prayed. If we just do that. You know, pray when you want to worry, and you'll find you have plenty of time for prayer. Okay? He says in everything, not just some things, but you can pray about everything. You can pray about anything. Some people think that God only cares about some things. That God cares how many people I talk to about Christ, or how many people I invite to church, or how much I give on Sunday. And while those things are of interest to God for sure, is God interested in your car payments? Yes. Is God interested in how your job is going? Yes. Is God interested in that headache that you've been dealing with? Yes. You see, He's interested in every detail of your life. So pray about it. There's nothing that you can't pray about. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. So He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. So be anxious for nothing. Trust in God. Second, in everything by prayer and supplication. Pray to Him about everything. And the final point this morning is express thanksgiving as you make your requests known to God. See, trusting in Him and offering prayer to God will lead you to give thanks to God. It just naturally follows. And whether or not we have a lot or a little, gratitude comes out of a relationship with God. Gratitude doesn't come from what you've been given. Gratitude comes from a realization of the one who gave it to you. That's where gratitude comes from, that relationship with God. You see, everything you have can be taken away from you. Did you know that? And it will be. On one fine day, your heart is going to seize up and shut down. On one fine day, someday from now, maybe near, maybe far, your brain is going to quit functioning. Your breath is going to quit going in and out. Your blood is going to stop flowing, and you're going to lay on a slab somewhere, and your body is dead. And everything you have on this earth is going to be gone. Gone. Taken away from you. All right, well, so that's the final thing. But you know what? Things can be taken from you in this life. A tornado can take it. A fire can take it. A health problem can take it. Criminal act can take it. A natural disaster or a man-made tragedy can take everything that you have in this life away from you in a moment. Our gratitude toward God must not depend upon what we have right now, because our Heavenly Father who cares for us and the Savior who loved us so much that He died for us is with us every minute of every day. And we can be grateful that we're not alone. That when we face tragedy or when we enjoy triumph, we're not alone. God is with us through it all. So having an attitude of gratitude, it starts with trusting in God and praying to Him about everything, and expressing thanksgiving as you make your request known to God. And if you do this, you will truly have an attitude of gratitude. If you're not a Christian, you're missing out on the best life there is to live. Jesus is the Son of God, and He gave His life for you and for me. And He's given us an opportunity today to hear His gospel and to respond to His call. And He calls any and all to come unto Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and He will give you rest. He calls all men to come to Him. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto Me. Our Lord calls you to come to Him if you're not a Christian. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then believe enough to do something about it. Repent. Turn from sin. Confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. That's what you need to do. If you've not done that, you need to do it. And if you already have done that, but you've not been faithful to